بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين الله الموفق والمعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. Tonight is the anniversary, demise of the great lady of Islam, خديجة الكبرى سلام الله عليها. Let's start the talk by sending a loud salawat to the pure soul of the great lady of Islam. Please recite a loud salawat. Allah. Inshallah, our a'mal and worships are recorded and accepted among the best deeds of the worshippers of this month, again by the barakah of loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Quran mentions the role of some great women who have made the history. The Quran names Asiya, Maryam, and indirectly Fatima, and again in some other verses indirectly Khadija. These four names are among the great and influential names of the world and the history of human being. The personality of the great lady of Islam, the mother of the faithful, Khadijatul Kubra salamullahi alayha, is the personality that we need to be had to become more aware of it, to gain more knowledge about it. The lady married to the Prophet at the age of 40. Lived major part of her life in the pre-Islamic period, but the way she lived could be considered as a role model for our women and ladies, even in today's society. She never worshipped idols. She had many, many qualities and features. I'm going to mention five of important features of this lady. The first one was that she was known as Tahira, pure, due to her chastity, righteousness, and taqwa. This title was given to her before Islam, Tahira. Also, she was known as Sayyidat Nisa'il Quraysh, the best of, or the princess of, the ladies or women of Quraysh. Second feature of this lady was that she had great wealth. She was from a family which was a noble family, rich family. According to some historical books, she had several hundreds, even more than thousands of camels, which she used to send them to business in the form of caravans. And she was managing all these caravans and businesses. But at the same time, the great lady of Islam was not unaware of the conditions of the poor, of masakin, of the orphans. Usually in our society, the more a person becomes rich, the more the person becomes unaware of the situation, of the conditions of the lower classes of the society, of the poor people. The person lives in a different world, totally different to the world of the poor people. But the lady of Islam, the wife of the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. With that great amount of wealth and property in dunya, she was known before Islam as Ummul Aitam, the mother of the orphans of Mecca. Ummul Aitam, the mother of the orphans. That was the third feature, taking care of the orphans, of the needy people. The fourth one, Khadijatul Kubra, salamullahi alayha, had unreserved, unconditional, absolute faith in the Prophet and in the message of the Prophet. She used to climb up to the cave of Hira to take some foods to her husband, the Prophet, when the Prophet used to stay for some period, for some days, for worship in the cave of Hira. At the time that the Prophet was being given some titles as irrational, insane, abnormal by the Arabs, when the Prophet came back from the cave of Hira with that mission, with the Rasala al-Muhammadiyya, without any hesitation, without any doubt, she accepted the prophethood, and she was the first to accept Islam and to pray behind her husband. In a very brilliant statement, the Prophet said, Khadija, wa ayna mithlu Khadija? Khadija, where is the likes of Khadija? Saddaqatni hayna kathaban innaas. She was loyal to me. She confirmed me. She believed in me, حِينَ كَذَّبَنِ النَّاسِ, when all people denied and rejected me. وَوَازَرَتْنِي عَلَىٰ دِينِ اللَّهِ, she became my vizier, my deputy, my helper, my supporter. عَلَىٰ دِينِ اللَّهِ, for the sake of the religion of Allah. وَأَعَانَتْنِي عَلَيْهِ, she helped me for the sake of the religion of Allah, bimaliha, with her wealth, with her properties. She made a huge sacrifice with her wealth. What did she expect from her husband in return? Sisters, You can imagine yourself in the place of Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, with that sacrifice, with that support in that crucial time. What was the request of the lady from the husband? That this was the request. Let's look at the wasiyya, the last will of the lady. This is the wasiyya of the lady. She's got four wasiyya. First, she said, O Prophet, do dua for me. Keep me in your duas after my death. Second, bury me with your own hands. Third, before burying me, I would like you to enter into my grave. I would like my grave to be blessed with your presence, with your steps. And lastly, if possible, put your aba, put your cloak on top of my kafan when you want to bury me. The cloak of the Prophet was the request, was the reward she asked for all her services, for all her endeavors, which she made towards the success of the religion of Islam. Every Prophet, right at the beginning of his mission, needs great support. When Prophet Musa appointed as the Prophet, he said, Rabbi, ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli Harun akhi ushtud bihi azri. Oh Allah, now you have become as the Prophet. Help me with a vizier, with a supporter, Harun. And at the beginning of the mission of Islam, the wife of the Prophet of Islam was the main supporter, was the main helper. And the last one, the last feature. In my understanding, Bibi Khadija salamullahi alayha should be portrayed, projected and manifested to global society as a role model of a woman in Islam in some particular aspects. In which aspect we can introduce him as a role model? As the first woman who served the community of a human being in the first place, and the community of Muslims in the second place. Specifically in terms of infaq, spending the wealth in the way of Allah. Charity, donations. The lady should be projected, should be portrayed as the great role model of a woman in Islam with this trait, with this feature. When Prophet of Islam, with the companions, took refuge in a place called Shi'b Abi Talib, it was the wealth, it was the financial support of the Lady of Islam, Khadija al-Kubra, which helped the Prophet and the companions. Infaq, charity, donation. This is one of the major concepts in Islam and in the Quran. The place of infaq or charity or zakat or sadaqah, they have some little differences with one another, but they got similarities and commonalities, is a very highlighted one. First of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about infaq in the Quran or zakat or charity, donation, it comes beside the command of Allah, the imperative of Allah, to salat, to prayer. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. Zakat in its broad sense, not in the sense of obligatory zakat, no, including recommended and mustahab zakat as well. They go hand in hand in the Quran. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, the same weight, scale, which has been given, importance which has been given to salat is given to zakat, to infaq. That's one thing. Another point about zakat in the Quran is that when we go through the ayats which are addressing zakat, we see that the way zakat is being tackled is not a recommendation, is not an advice. It's a command, it's an imperative, it's amr. For example, Allah says in a very strong and robust way, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. When Allah describes the musallin, the true prayers, he says, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. This is Surah Ma'arij, Ayah 23 onwards. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. The musallin, those who are establishing prayers, are those who are doing prayers and establishing it constantly, persistently. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ. And those musallins are those one in whose wealth there is a certain, a known haqq, a known right. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. For the deprived people. لِلسَّائِلِ. For the petitioners. For those who are needy, according to some rawayats, this haqq, this certain right which all of us have in our wealth is interpreted as zakatul wajibah, the obligatory zakat. But in some other rawayats, it is said that this is not zakatul wajibah, this is infaq. This is normal spending out of wealth in the way of Allah. For example, in a riwayah, in a hadith, a man, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala, came to the Imam. The Imam said, wa inna alaykum fi amwalikum ghayra zakat. Verily, there is a right in your wealth which is not zakat. You have to pay out of your wealth, which is not zakat. There's something else. فَقُلْتُ, the companion said, I asked the Imam, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا فِي أَمْوَالِنَا غَيْرَ zakat. What is the obligatory payment in our wealth, which is not zakat, which is not khums? فَقَالَ أَمَا تَسْمَعْ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عز وجل يقول في كتابه والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم. Haven't you heard the word of Allah in Surah Ma'arij, which says the musallin are those in whose wealth there is a right, specific right, for the poor people, for the deprived people? Then I ask, what is this and how should we pay that? The Imam said, يُعْطِيهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَوْ فِي الْجُمَعَةِ أَوْ فِي أَشْهُرٍ قَلَّ أَوْ كَثُرَ. This is the payment which should be paid فِي يَوْمِهِ, daily, on a daily base. أَوْ فِي الْجُمَعَةِ, on a weekly base, on Fridays, which is recommended. The sadaqah and nifaq is recommended to be done on Fridays. أو في أشهر, or on a monthly base. قَلَّ أَوْ كَثَرَ. It could be less or much, but غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ يَدُومُ عَلَيْهِ. The important point is that it should be done continuously. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib in his last will said, Allah, Allah, fil aytam, fala tughibbu afwahum. For the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, be aware of Allah in the issues of aytam, the orphans. Fala tughibbu afwahum. What does that mean? It means that it shouldn't be the case that sometimes you take care of them, sometimes you forget. Sometimes you feed them, sometimes you don't. فَلَا تُغِبُّوا. This is one point about infaq in the Quran. Another point. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا التَّهْلُكَ. Again, it's a command, it's imperative. أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do infaq. Spend out of your wealth in the way of Allah. لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't put yourself with your own hands into destruction. It's a huge message. Abstaining and stopping from doing infaq, donations, charity, spending out of wealth and soul, out of time, out of knowledge, out of reason, because infaq is not only spending out of wealth. The Quran says, يُنْفِقُونَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَمِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. They spend out of their wealth and out of themselves, their soul. Out of their soul means out of their time, valuable time. Out of their intellect. Infaq in intellect means giving advice. Consultation. Out of tongue, reconciliation between people, making people happy. This is the infaq of the tongue, of the language. Making people happy. Of ilm, guiding people, enlightening people. أنفقوا في سبيل الله. Do infaq in its general sense. لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't put yourself in the position of destruction. And the last point about infaq in the Quran. Infaq, I'm saying that infaq is the concept. We can explain, we can make Lady Khadija, سلام الله عليها, as the symbol, as the role model of infaq and charity in Islam. The last point about infaq is that there's a great link between infaq, charity, donation, and iman. The Quran tells us, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ in Al Imran, in ayah, if I'm not mistaken, 92 or 94. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You won't attain birr, goodness, hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, unless you spend, you give, you grant as a gift, mimma tuhibbun, out of what you love, out of what you like. Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. What's the link to iman here? The ayah says, you will never attain birr. What is birr? Birr means goodness. But it's a very crucial sense. Let's open it. Explore it. Get help from other ayat of the Quran to explain it. The Quran says in a different ayah, which is 177 of Surah Baqarah, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتِ لَيْسَ بِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The goodness is not to turn your faces towards the east or the west. ولكن البر, the bir is, the goodness is. من آمن بالله, the bir is in the person. من آمن بالله, who believes in Allah, iman. The link of bir to iman. آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. The bir is the person, or the bar. The person who does bir is the person who has got iman in Allah, in akhirah, in the prophets, in the book. وآت المال على حبه, and the person who spends out of his properties, out of his wealth, على حبه, in spite of the love for it. Not out of the wealth or the property that you don't like. In Farsi we say روغن ریخته نظر امامزاده نمی کنن. Out of precious, valuable properties. علا حبه. علامه طباطبایی in the tafsir of Al-Mizan says bir means a goodness in niyyah, intention, a goodness in thought and belief, and a goodness in actions. So with this definition of bir, let's again go back to the same ayah, لن تنالوا البر, you will never attain bir, حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون, unless you embark on infaq, on spending out of what you love. There's a very excellent tradition from Imam Hussein and another one from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. I'm going to give you as a gift to these two traditions. Imam Hussein says, إن حوائج الناس إليكم من نعم الله عليكم. O people, the حاجة of people, the need of people to you is the ni'mah of Allah to you. The need of people to you. Don't consider the needs, the حوائج of people to you, as something bad. من نعم الله. These are some opportunities to get close to Allah, to be away from your selfish egoism, to practice zuhd, detachment from worldly desires. It's the best opportunity to practice tawheed and ikhlas. In another tradition, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, you need more to spend from what you have collected than to collect what you're looking for. You need to collect, you need to build your dunya. A Shia should be successful even in the dunya. All of us should be professionals in the dunya, not relying on something like benefits. But the Imam says, your need to spend out of what you have collected is more than the need to get again, to collect again. There are many functions for the infaq. Individuals, to practice taqwa, to practice piety, to practice detachment from dunya, from the desires, attractive desires of the dunya, to get ready to death, to the akhirah. A person came to the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, I don't like the death and the hereafter. The Prophet said, Alaka malun? Do you have any property, any wealth? The person said, yes, the Prophet of Allah. He said, spend in the way of Allah. The person said, La astati', I can't do it. The Prophet said, Qaddimhu. Sent in advance to the hereafter. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْءَ مَعَ مَالِهِ فَإِذَا قَدَّمَهُ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُلْحَقَ بِهِ. Verily, the man is with his, the heart of people is with the property, with the wealth. فَإِنْ قَدَّمَهُ, if you send it in advance to the hereafter, you like to be with your mal, with your profit, with your property, with your wealth. And social benefits, great social benefits are in infaq. Because we are running out of time, I need to re-say and retell what I told tonight in Farsi for dear Farsi speakers. Wassalatu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.